Chapter 6. Derek always managed to stake out the same spot in the bleachers for lacrosse games. Considering how lacrosse seemed to be the lifeblood of the town, and the turnout was always substantial, even for non-tournament games, this was a pretty solid accomplishment. Derek had always liked to think the townspeople were instinctively respecting his authority. However, now he thought it was probably because his preferred spot only had a so-so view of the field. It was an excellent vantage point for looking at the bench players. Derek was glad that Laura's utter indifference to lacrosse trumped her desire to micromanage his wooing woes. He didn't think he could take her mocking him for yet another styles-related influence on his behavior that he had somehow missed. Any more encouragement on that front, and she might take up scrapbooking just to document his shame. They were in the second half, and Beacon Hills was hanging on to the lead by the skin of their teeth, running through subs quickly. The other team was pulling fouls left and right with no response from the referee, leading the Cyclone supporters to mumble or shout, depending on their inclination, that the man must be drunk or stupid. Derek's nose said drunk once he got a good whiff when the ref came close, but not much he could do about it. And in any case, a drunken man wearing a uniform in desperate need of washing was not the scent he was inclined to focus on. Styles was still on the bench, but inching forward with every Beacon Hills player that had to be taken out, eager for a chance to get to play. Derek unconsciously mirrored the action as another player staggered off the field, his lips split and blood dripping down his chin despite the face guard on the helmet.
"Stolensky!" bellowed Coach Finstock. "You're in! Go out there and try not to bleed as much as Greenberg here! I swear to God, Greenberg, you bleed more than a Russian hemophiliac!"
Styles leapt up, his smile looking wide enough to split his face before it was obscured as he pulled down his helmet. He ran onto the field and got in position just as the ref blew his whistle to resume play. The game continued in a flurry of bodies running, flailing, and slamming into each other, with the ball at least tangentially related to all the action. Derek, track number 24, crossed the field, his agitation growing every time his view was blocked by the crush of bodies. He had gone to nearly every lacrosse game since Styles had joined the team, but this was the first time he was actually on the field. Thrown in the mix with a bunch of adrenaline-infused, hyper-aggressive teenagers, Derek felt his nails pierce through the bleacher beneath him and took a deep breath. Styles would be fine. It was just a game. He scrimmaged against his own teammates all the time and knew how to take a hit. Seemingly, out of nowhere, Styles suddenly got the ball, and he had a shot on goal. He took the shot and was immediately body slammed by an oversized goon from the other team. Everyone in the Beacon Hills bleachers was on their feet, Derek among them. Derek was snarling, his snout elongating, while the rest of the crowd was too distracted by the ball sailing past the goalie into the net to notice. They cheered and stomped, rattling the bleachers, as Styles was helped up by one of his teammates. He was moving gingerly, but as soon as it sunk in that he had scored, he was jumping up and down with the rest of his team, wincing at the pain, but unable to hold back his excitement. Derek had finally gotten himself under control when Styles looked up into the stands and their eyes met. Styles gestured wildly between Derek, himself, and the goal, easily translatable to anyone who knew Styles as, "Oh my God, Derek, did you just see that? Seriously, did you just see what I did?" Derek grinned back at Styles, nodding emphatically to make sure Styles saw him. Styles waved again and gave a thumbs up, and then limped off to the sideline where Finstock had another player recovered enough to sub in for him for the last few minutes of play. Derek didn't even pretend to watch the rest of the game. instead keeping his eyes and ears glued to Stiles as the team medic checked out his injuries. After making Stiles wincingly flex his foot, the medic deemed it a sprain and wrapped it, instructing Stiles that he wasn't to participate at practice for at least 2 days. Stiles hopped back to his old spot on the bench, clenching an ice pack, and was pulled into an enthusiastic hug by a black-eyed sporting Scott. Derek had never before felt an iota of ill will towards Scott in his life, so he really wanted the hug to be not quite so prolonged, so he didn't have to start having any such thoughts now. Soon, the final whistle blew, declaring Beacon Hills the victors with a score of 9-11. Derek stood awkwardly next to the bleachers as everyone else disassembled, talking excitedly, and wondered what he should do. He usually hung out until the team was out of the showers to meet with Stiles, but he wasn't sure if he should. He was already taking Stiles out on a Laura-approved Escalation Affections dinner date tomorrow, and what if Stiles wanted to celebrate with his teammates after actual scoring? He made the decision to just leave and text congratulations to Stiles later, when a solid, warm, and delicious-smelling body barreled into him and enveloped Derek into a hug. Derek automatically wrapped his arms around an exuberant Stiles and lifted him off the ground as Stiles' joyous laughter became the only sound worth hearing on the still crowded field. Derek set Stiles down and took a step back before the desire to switch to a very different kind of embrace became more than just an idle thought. "Did you see that? I mean, really, did you see that? I know we would have won anyway, but..." It was fantastic, Stiles. It was the most incredible goal ever scored in the history of lacrosse. It was a goal full of majesty and... "Dude!" Stiles laughed as he punched Derek in the arm. "Any reason you're laying it on so thick?" "Just wanted to show I know what a momentous occasion this is. And I thought it most appropriate to respond in a stylish way," Derek said, with a smile, earning another laugh and a half-hearted whack from Stiles. The smile fell from his face when someone jostled into Stiles, causing him to switch his weight onto his bad ankle with a grimace. Derek instinctively reached out to steady him. "How are you feeling after that hit? Are you okay?" He kept his hands on Stiles' shoulder, holding him in place against the still dispersing crowd, not caring that his uniform was damp with sweat and splattered with mud. Stiles looked at Derek's hold on his shoulders, but he didn't try to shrug them off. "Yeah, I'm good. I mean, I got a baby my ankle for a while because I landed on it wrong, but no big deal." "Be careful on it, or I'll be coming to your house to take care of you," Derek said, desperately trying to convey both sincerity and levity. Laura had stopped just shy of making him do non-threatening flirtation drills, so he was sure he had the right balance now. Mostly sure. Stiles' heart rate jumped slightly, his already flushed face taking on a slightly darker hue, and his scent started to change, a mix of embarrassment and something else that was making Derek salivate. Stiles opened his mouth, drawing Derek's gaze, and... "Stiles! Come on and shower off! You're going to come out with the team tonight, right?" Scott called out from the edge of the field, by the entrance to the locker room. "You scored a goal, so you don't have to pay. And Jackson didn't score, so he does!" Derek reluctantly took his hands off Stiles so he could turn and respond to Scott. "Be there in a minute!" Stiles turned back to Derek, his smells more muddled than they had been just a moment before. "So I know we sometimes hang out after games when my dad can't make it, but go celebrate with your teammates and order the most expensive fast food crap you can think of." Stiles gave a smile and a double thumbs up as he turned to go. "Anyway, we're still on for tomorrow, right?" Derek asked, before Stiles had walked more than 2 steps, trying not to sound too eager. Stiles turned back to him and raised his eyebrows in mock shock. "Derek, man, if you think I'm going to take advantage of someone else playing tonight, just wait until tomorrow. I promise to fleece you for everything you're worth," he said with a laugh, and then ran off to the locker room. Everyone else had finally left, either to their cars or the school, leaving Derek by himself, with no one around to tell him he had the goofiest smile ever on his face, or hear him say, "I look forward to it." He was so elated that he had to go on another run, burn off the extra energy and howl his pleasure to all of Beacon Hills. Derek, honestly, couldn't remember the last time he felt so excited. Of course, that changed when he got back to the house and Laura was still up. "You have the goofiest smile I've ever seen right now. Did you find a hiding place and spy on Styles in the showers or something after the game?" asked Laura from her sprawled-out position on the couch as she muted whatever trashy reality show she had been watching on TV. Derek was relatively sure it involved fashion models and unarmed combat. "What? Laura, how can you even think of... I'm not some perverted stalker that would do something like sneak into a high school locker room. I'm a cop, for God's sakes." But despite Derek's protests, the image was now in his head. Of Styles alone in the echoing shower room, standing naked and beautiful under the warm spray, soap suds sliding down his pale body, lean and muscular, but still with a certain softness, every wonderful mole and freckle exposed. His eyes closed, wet lashes clumped together, water droplets hang onto his bottom lip, threatening to fall off, but instead just trembling temptingly with every breath, waiting to be licked off. Rivulets of water running over the length of him, downwards, catching in the trail of dark hair that started his belly button and went all the way down to his groin. Styles reached down with a strong, long-fingered hand to touch his... "Okay, ew. Stop that look on your face. I believe that that wasn't a pervy creeping in the shower smile earlier, because I can now see what your pervert smile actually is, because you're definitely thinking Styles wet and naked now, aren't you? Not while I'm in the room, please. Mom and Dad are so lucky they decided to visit Uncle Peter and Aunt Mel so they didn't have to see their son directing a porno in his head," Laura said, sitting up, a grimace on her face. "I wasn't..." "You were. I saw a look in your face a sister should never have to see," Laura said with finality. So it was the first, in comparison, non-disturbing smiling in regards to. "I talked to Styles after the game." "You said you do that all the time. What else?" It's just so good to be around him, now that I understand, now that I know there's a real chance I can actually have him. He smells so good." Noting the tone in Derek's voice, Laura leaned forward slightly, her expression serious. "Remember, you don't go from one dinner date to a proposal of any sort. You have to find the right way to tell him everything without scaring him off first, because as brave as he is, our family's a lot to take. He doesn't know anything yet. Not just about us being wolves, but what that means. What a mate means," Laura cautioned. "And aside from that, according to my inside informant, a teenage girl," Derek interrupted flatly, "who better to get the dirt on a teenage boy? The point is, Styles doesn't think that you would be interested in him in that way, that you could see him as anything other than a sweet and goofy kid. So you have to show him that you do, and make him really believe it. Before you can even think about properly claiming him as your mate, before you show him the wolf, you need to do that. And I know that you're impatient and want to just settle everything now, but I am telling you, that may not work. You say out of the blue, 'I love you,' and he might think you're playing a joke on him," Laura said somberly. "But I would never do that to Styles. He should know that I would never do that to anyone. That when I tell him I love him, I mean it," Derek said, aghast at the possibility that Styles could ever think that of him. "I'm not saying that it will happen that way, but you need to consider that just because it's crystal clear to you, it may not be for him. And you, if anyone, should know that just because someone is telling you the truth, it isn't always easy to take it to heart. He's a little bit broken, just like you are. That's what drew the two of you together back at the sheriff's station that night. You need to be conscious of that. Derek stood silently. It was so easy to forget that for all of her love of messing with people, of tormenting Derek as she saw fit, saying it was a sisterly right, that she was born to inherit the Alpha Mantle, and that even now she could instinctively feel out what was wrong with what would one day be solely her pack, and be compelled to soothe them, to keep them healthy and safe, physically and mentally. Even if she had to say things they didn't want to hear. I'm going to bed now. I still have work tomorrow, and I'm taking Stiles out for dinner after that. Does that still fit in with your acceptable timeline? Derek asked, letting his frustration bleed through. He knew her point was valid, but that didn't mean he wanted to hear it. Not when he had smelled Stiles' arousal and knew that it was for him, not Lydia Martin, not his teammate Danny, not any one of the attractive but ultimately unworthy people who might try to catch his attention just to show that they could. Just for him. Anything not in line with Stiles being in his arms and carrying his scent as soon as possible was not something he wanted to listen to. He was already a third of the way up the stairs when Laura spoke again, quietly, but knowing that Derek could hear her. You know I'm not telling you this just to make your life more difficult. I'm telling you this to keep every member of the pack healthy. And I don't mean just you. Stiles is already beginning to feel like pack to the rest of our wolves. I talked with Mom and Dad, and they agree. They feel it too. Even without worrying about you, we all have a vested interest in keeping Stiles happy. Derek resumed walking up the stairs, warmth spreading throughout his chest.
Stiles was really unsure about what was going on in his life. Most of the goings-on were positive in everything, getting invited to a real dinner out by Derek, even if it was just his friends, actually getting to play and score an official lacrosse game, making Jackson pay for his curly fries. And now he was in the woods, sitting next to Jackson on the hood of the guy's Porsche and passing a flask back and forth on a Tuesday night. Granted, Jackson was drinking a lot more of the gin than the sip or two Stiles had allowed himself, as he was already toying with the idea that he might be losing it mentally and figured that crawling into a bottle could wait until he was completely sure one way or the other. "So, you haven't been staring at my girlfriend as much lately," Jackson said as he lifted the flask for another drink. Stiles was unsure whether his decision to remain sober was a good or bad one. "No? Not that I ever did anything as vulgar as stare. I just appreciated from a distance. But even if one chose to interpret that as staring, Lydia is her own person. So if she wants to get up with me about the frequency of which I look at her, that's one thing. You're another." "It's a good thing. Even if we broke up, she wouldn't go out with you," Jackson said bluntly. "I am very much aware of that. Thank you, Jackson," Stiles sighed. Because Jackson was an asshole, and he was probably going to have to drive him home if he didn't want to feel responsible for him wrapping his stupid, way too good for him, expensive car around a tree. "I'm kind of an asshole," Jackson said suddenly, making Stiles wonder if he had said his last thought aloud. "I don't deserve Lydia." "You don't either, but in a different way. She would eat someone like you for breakfast. She's still too nice for someone like me. In her way." Stiles had known Jackson since they were both kids, and he was pretty sure this was the first time he had seemed even remotely like a real, feeling human being. It was just another level of surrealism in his life lately. "I don't know why I'm saying this, because I don't actually like you, but Lydia loves you. I mean, you're an asshole, so she has to love you to stay with you." Jackson looked at Stiles blearily. "I don't think I'm worthy of her," he said, the sadness plain in his voice. Stiles tentatively reached out a hand to pat him on the shoulder. "Then maybe you should work on that. Make yourself worthy of her. Be worthy of each other." Jackson was silent for a moment, a small smile, much softer than his normal one, making its way onto his face. "You should do that too," he finally said. "Become worthy of Lydia? I thought you were pleased I had decreased my long-distance admiration. And Stiles thought that he had been following Jackson's drunken train of thought so well. I meant find someone that you can be all worthy of each other. Together. With each other. Whatever. You're still a loser, so they'll never be as good as Lydia. But even losers deserve someone. That may be the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Jackson. Now, you're going to give me your car keys so I can drive you home to sleep this off. Thus, there will be at least a slim chance in hell you'll be getting over your hangover by third period. Okay? Stiles asked, holding out his hand. Okay, Jackson said, with drunken agreeability, digging into his jacket pocket and pulling out the keys, handing them to Stiles. You dent it, and I will end you. Don't ever change, Jackson, Stiles said, sliding off the hood of the car, already planning out what classes would be optimum for napping during the day. History notes could be gotten later, but he was not going to be yawning through dinner. As he opened the car door, he heard what he could have sworn was a wolf howl, but dismissed it as someone playing a weird joke. No wolves lived in this part of California for decades, and real wolves didn't sound happy when they howled.